I heard about a wife that sat straight up in the bed in the middle of the night. She was crying and she was screaming. And finally her husband woke up. And he began to try to comfort her. And he began to say to her, why are you so upset? Why are you crying so? And she said, I had a dream. And I dreamed that I went to heaven. And in heaven, they were having a husband auction. Some husbands were being auctioned for $1,000. Other husbands were being auctioned for $2,000. And finally, the curiosity was getting the best of her husband. And he said, well, what were husbands like me going for? And she began to cry even more. And finally, when she regained her composure, she said, well, husbands like you were being bundled together, three bundles for a dollar. Well, I don't believe we'd see anything like that in heaven. But I want to preach tonight on the subject, looking into heaven. And if you will, open your Bibles to the Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to read there verse 1 through verse 8. Now, for you deacons, that's the last book in the Bible. Amen? Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. I pick on deacons, but listen. Some of my closest friends are deacons, so I like to pick on them, okay? And so if you're a deacon, I'm just picking at you. The Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now I thank God. Or Revelation 21, verse 4. Look at it. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And all God's people say, amen. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But then in contrast to that, what's been said in the first seven verses, verse 8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll open up your word. And God, I pray that you'll speak tonight. Holy Spirit, we're completely dependent upon you. God, I'm unable to preach in my own power. So, God, I call upon you for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the words that I speak tonight will be under your direction and under your power. I pray for those who are here tonight that have never been saved. If they were to die, they would not go to heaven, but they'd go to hell. I pray that before this service is over, that they'll respond to your call and make their way to this altar, coming to Christ. Press upon us the reality of eternity, that every one of us here tonight are either going to spend an eternity in heaven or in hell. And it's what we do with Jesus that makes the difference. May your perfect will be accomplished. May the name of Jesus be honored. In His name I pray, and all God's people say, amen. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And on one occasion, Mr. Booth had a person who came to him and said, "Mr. Booth, I'm convinced that the training that you give to your personal soul winners is the best training there is available for soul winners today." Mr. Booth, being the humble man that he was, said, "I thank you for saying that. And although the training that I give to my personal soul winners may be the best there is available today, it's not the best training there is for a soul winner." He said the best training for a soul winner is for a person to spend 5 minutes in hell, and then they would be a soul winner. And I'm convinced that he was exactly right. If a person could just get a glimpse of hell, it will do away with a casual, don't care attitude that so many people have in regards to witnessing and soul winning. Now tonight, I don't want us to look into hell, but I want us to look into heaven. And I believe if we could just get a glimpse of heaven tonight, that it will literally change your life. You know, when you get an interest in a place, you want to find out everything you can about that place. As an evangelist, I travel week after week. Last year, I was in 49 different revivals. This year I already have scheduled 43 revivals. And so I travel week after week, place to place. For example, I'll be here scheduled now through Wednesday night. Thursday I'll be home, and Friday I fly to Fort Worth, come back home the next week. The next week I'm in Austin, Texas. The next week I'm in Anniston, Alabama. I don't know where I'm going to be the next week, but I'm traveling, you know, week after week, someplace. And so as I travel, I like to find out what I can about that place where I'm going to go. And I get to go to some very unusual, unique places. For example, how many of you have ever heard of Punkintown, South Carolina? How many of you ever heard of Punkintown, South Carolina? Punkintown, South Carolina is right at the foot of Table Rock, North Carolina. And last year I preached a camp meeting in Punkintown, South Carolina. Now, I'll be very honest with you, it didn't take very long to find out everything there is to know about Punkintown, South Carolina. Because in Punkintown, South Carolina, all they have is one red light. And when it's turned on, it blinks. That's it. Punkintown, South Carolina. How many of you ever heard of Frog Jump, Tennessee? Okay. Man, y'all from there. Okay. I preached the revival in Curve. Y'all know where Curve is? Curve, right on the other side of Frog Jump. And as I traveled to Curve to preach in a revival, I had to go through Frog Jump. How many of you have ever heard of Bug Tussle, Texas? Bug Tussle, Texas. There is a real place, Bug Tussle, Texas, isn't there? Bug Tussle, Texas is right outside Dow, Texas, which is right outside Honey Grove, Texas. And I preached revival just outside Bug Tussle, Texas. Now, in Bug Tussle, Texas, there's only one building. That's it. One building. It's the grocery store. It's the post office. It's the restaurant. Everything that takes place in Bug Tussle takes place right there. And they have something very interesting in there. They have these banners for their ball team that they don't even have. They don't even have a ball team. But they have these banners, and on it, it says, the Bug Tussle Tusslers. Very interesting place. And as I travel, I get to go to some very interesting places. But tonight, there's a place that I have great interest in. And the reason I have great interest in this place is because there's some people that are very dear to me who are there. I have a mother and a father and a little 3-year-old sister who passed away at that age. And grandparents and some dear, dear friends who are already there. It is that holy city, that city of God, that New Jerusalem, that place where Jesus is with the Father. How many of you tonight have a mother or a father or a son or a daughter or a brother or a sister? If you have a loved one that's in heaven tonight, just lift your hand way up high. If you have a loved one in heaven tonight, listen, that ought to give you reason to want to find out everything you can about heaven. And so what I want to do tonight is this. I want us to look into heaven. And I want us to see what's taking place in heaven right now. Not so much what has taken place in heaven, not even what is going to take place in heaven, but what's happening in heaven right this very moment. Would you like to know? Three things. Number one, I want us to look and see what the supernatural beings are doing in heaven. I'm talking now about the holy angels. God has His holy angels. I heard about two men that were talking one day, and one man said to the other man, "I believe my wife is an angel." And the other man said, "Now, wait a minute. I know your wife is a good lady and a fine lady and a very godly lady, but don't you think you're stretched a little bit to say that you believe your wife is an angel?" And he said, "Well, she has to be an angel because she's always up in the air harping about something." Amen or oh me. But God has His holy angels. And what are the angels doing in heaven? Well, one thing they're doing, they're shouting praises to His precious name. Listen to what the Bible says in Revelation 5, beginning there in verse 11. Revelation 5 in verse 11. "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels." Now, underline that phrase there, "the voice of many angels," because we're going to contrast that in a few moments. "Round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" What are the angels doing in heaven? They're shouting praises to His precious name. The name of Jesus is worthy to be praised. Isn't it strange that we can get excited about everything else in the world? I mean, we can go out here to a big old pasture field on a Saturday afternoon in the fall of the year, and we'll see 22 men down on that field chasing a little bag of air up and down that field about killing each other. And we get excited and we hoop and we holler about that. Now don't misunderstand me. I like sports. And when the Orange is playing, I can hoop and holler with the best of them. Now I'll be honest with you, these last 2 years I ain't had a lot to holler and hoop about. But I can hoop and holler with the best of you. But isn't it strange that we all holler like a bunch of Comanche Indians on a Saturday afternoon, and then we'll come to church on Sunday morning and sit here like a bunch of dead wooden Indians? The name of Jesus is worthy to be praised. Brother Kenny, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm not going to let the angels outpraise me. You know why? Angels don't know what it is to be saved by the grace of God. Angels don't know what it is to experience God's great salvation. Angels don't know what it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And if there's anyone who ought to be praising God, it ought to be the people of God. Amen? And so the angels are shouting praises to His precious name. And then secondly, the angels are serving the King for the kingdom. I believe if we could look into heaven tonight, that we would see God there. And He would be looking over to one of His angels. He'd say, "Angel, there's one of my children in trouble. Go down, watch over protect them. You say, do you really believe that happens? Oh, yes. Just write these verses in the margin of your Bible. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Psalm 91, 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. That word keep means to protect you in all thy ways. I could give you story after story. Dr. Sam Cathy is a Southern Baptist evangelist. I understand that he preached a meeting here. Brother Sam's one of my closest friends. And by the way, pray for Sam. His health is really failing him in these last several months. And so pray for Brother Sam. But he is one of my dear, dear friends. And I kid Brother Sam and say to him, then I really believe it takes at least a dozen archangels just to keep him out of trouble. I mean, folks, listen, you all know he can skin you alive and throw in the salt. Amen? Brother Sam tells the story about several years ago he was preaching in a series of meetings in Michigan. He'd been there for 3 straight weeks. And he was looking forward to getting back home. He lived at that time over in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And so he was looking forward to getting back home with his wife and his daughters. And said he made his way to the airport and he went up and he had his ticket. And he said, I'd like to get a boarding pass and a seat assignment. And the ticket agent said, well, we're having some mechanical difficulties with that plane. Now, doesn't that always bless your heart? I mean, Lanny, when you're going to fly off, I mean, doesn't it just bless your heart when you hear they're having problems that plane that you're supposed to get up there 30,000 feet in? And they said to him, said, we're having mechanical difficulty. Going to be a little while, so go on and get you something to eat. And as Brother Sam said, he went off and got him 5 or 6 hot dogs and 4 or 5 Coca-Colas. And finally, he said, I made my way back to that plane and gave my ticket there and said, I'd like to get a boarding pass and a seat assignment. And the ticket agent looked back at him and said, what are you doing here? Well, he said, I want on that plane. He said, you're already on that plane. That plane has already left. And I put you on that plane. And Sam said, I looked back at him and I said, well, I'm here, ain't I? Sam said, later that afternoon, he discovered that plane crashed. And every person on that plane was killed. Now, he's convinced that God just sent an angel there to take his place, to protect him. Now, you can believe what you want to believe. I can believe what I want to believe. But that's what Brother Sam believes. But I do know this much. From time to time, God sends his angels out to watch over the people of God. And so we see something of what the supernatural beings are doing in heaven. And then number 2, I want us to look and see what the Savior is doing in heaven. I mean, what's Jesus doing in heaven this very moment? Would you like to know? Let me give you 3 things. Number 1, Jesus is praying petitions for the saints. If we could look into heaven, we would see God the Father. And then we would see Jesus there at his right hand. What's Jesus doing for us? He's praying for me and he's praying for you. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 John 2:1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus is my advocate. Jesus is my attorney. Jesus is my lawyer, and he's never lost a case, and he'll never lose a case. Now, even after we're saved, we still sin. Remember we shared that last night? Even after you're saved, you still sin. Amen? not going to be above sin till you go to be with Jesus one day. And it's as if when you sin as a Christian, that Jesus will look and say, "Father, remember, they're part of the family." When Don Witt sins, and I do, Jesus looks to the Father and says, "Father, remember, he's part of the family." The Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Now, as a Christian, when we sin, it will seem as if all the weight of hell comes down upon you. And it's as if Satan runs into the presence of God and says, "Look there at that one that calls himself Christian. I demand the death penalty for them." Oh, but God the Father looks over to the Son. And he remembers that day that Jesus died for us upon that cross. And he shed his blood. And he paid our sin debt in full. And when he looks at us, he sees us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight. I've got someone praying for me in heaven. And his name is Jesus. And then also, Jesus is preparing a place for the saints. In John chapter 14 and verse 2, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not some ghostly dream out there in yonder land. Heaven is as real as this place where we've gathered right here tonight. Amen? Heaven's a real place. You say, "Now, preacher, don't you think that Jesus could just speak a word and there'd be a mansion?" Oh, yes. In fact, he wouldn't even have to speak a word. All he'd have to do is just think a thought. And there'd be a mansion. You say, "What do you think that mansion's going to look like?" It's going to look a lot like a mansion. You say, "You believe there's going to be streets of gold?" Oh, yes. Walls of jasper? Oh, yes. Gates of pearl? Oh, yes. Sea of crystal? Oh, yes. You say, "Man, what an imagination you have." Listen, if it's not like that, it's better. It's better. And then thirdly, Jesus is personally present with the saints in heaven. The Bible teaches that when a Christian dies, they go immediately into the presence of God. Brother Kenny, I made that statement a while back, and I had a person who came to me after the service, and they said, "Don't ever make that statement again." I said, "What statement?" And they said, "That statement that when a Christian dies, they go immediately into the presence of God." And this is what they said. Now, this is what they said to me. They said to me, "The Bible teaches that when a Christian dies, their body goes back to the grave, and their soul also goes back to the grave to sleep until that resurrection day when Jesus comes." Now, the only thing wrong with that is this. That's wrong. That's wrong. I mean, the Bible teaches that when a Christian dies, they go immediately into the presence of God. Let me give you several passages that just teach that so clearly. If you look over to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 32, there the Sadducees are trying to trick Jesus by asking him questions. Now, you do remember who the Sadducees were, don't you? They were the liberals of that day. They did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in the supernatural things of God. They were liberals. You do know why they were called Sadducees, don't you? They were Sadducees. Got it? I mean, all liberals are sad. I mean, if you can't believe in the supernatural things of God, how in the world are you going to have the joy of the Lord? Amen? And so these Sadducees were trying to trick Jesus. And they said, Jesus, in the resurrection, when you come again, and a woman has been married many times, whose wife is she going to be? I love his answer. In essence, he said, not going to be any marriages in heaven. And be very honest with you, there's a lot of marriages down here that ain't too heavenly. Right? And then he goes on and he says in verse 32 of Matthew 22, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Abraham's still alive. Isaac is still alive. Jacob is still alive. When a person is saved, they never die. Oh, this old body where we now live, this old tabernacle where we now dwell, one day it will die, but the real you will never die. Amen? You see, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they're still alive. And then in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples looked and they said, there's Jesus. And there's Moses and there's Elijah with Jesus. Now remember, Moses and Elijah passed off the scene hundreds of years before that. And yet they said, there's Jesus. And there's Moses and there's Elijah with Jesus. And then when Christ was hanging on the cross, in Luke 23, verse 43, Jesus looked over to that dying thief. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You say, now, preacher, don't you understand in a very technical sense that there's a difference between paradise and heaven? You know what conclusion I've come up with? I've been studying the Bible seriously since I was 17 years old when God called me to preach. You mean to tell you what conclusion I've come up with? Wherever Jesus is, that's heaven enough for me. Amen? And he says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then there's that verse we use so often at funerals in 2 Corinthians 5, 8. Where Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Some of you, this last year, followed that casket of that mother or father or husband, wife, that loved one, out to that grave. I've got a good word for you tonight. If they were saved, they're not in that grave. They're with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? Listen, that ought to give you comfort. That ought to give you assurance when that loved one dies. And so we see something of what the supernatural beings are doing in heaven. And we see something of what the Savior is doing in heaven. And then, thirdly, I want us to look and see what the saints are doing in heaven. What are the Christians doing in heaven right now? Would you like to know? I mean, almost every one of you raised your hand and said that you had a mother or a father or a son or a daughter or a loved one in heaven. Would you like to know what they're doing in heaven right now? Now, if you've got any Baptistic in you whatsoever, I sort of say passing your pew belt, but you don't have pews. Passing your seat belt. Because if this doesn't bless you, your blesser's already worn out. What are the Christians doing in heaven? Well, one thing they are doing in heaven, they are worshiping the worthiness of Christ. If you look back just a couple of pages, in Revelation 19, verse 1, the Bible says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much, what? What's it say? Heard the voice of much people. Now, a moment ago, we heard the voice of many angels. But here it says, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And then look on down there in verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen! Hallelujah! Wouldn't you love to get in a worship service like that? Wouldn't you love to get in a worship service where people are saying, Amen! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Thank you, Jesus! Now, if that bothers you, you're going to have real problems in heaven. I'll tell you something else. I don't even believe there's going to be a printed bulletin in heaven. Now, if that bothers you, you better check up, see if your oil's been changed. You may not be saved. Now, while I'm telling you something, let me tell you something else. I don't believe the worship service is going to be over at 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. You say it's not down here either. Can you imagine? Can you imagine there in heaven? I mean, Jesus is leading the worship service. I don't know what all he's going to do, but he's leading the worship service. And somebody pulls off their watch, they say, Hey, Jesus! Hey, Jesus! You know what time it is? The roast is going to burn. NASCAR is about to crank up. Yeah! I mean, the Super Bowl is going to be off before you get finished. Oh, listen. We're not going to worry about what time it is. We're going to be able to worship Him forever and forever and forever. You know, I'm very simple-minded about this. If I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven worshiping and adoring and praising Jesus, I ought to practice up on it down here. You know, there's some people that won't even give a holy grunt in church who think they're going to be a star in heaven. And bless some of your hearts. Some of you are going to be as out of place as a screen door is in a submarine in heaven. You're not going to know how to really praise and adore our God. Amen? I know what some Baptists say. Well, you know, we're just afraid we might get carried away and become like some of those charismatics. Let me just be real honest with you. That ain't your problem. Amen? That's not your problem. The last 2 summers, I preached revival down the road here at Mount Ararat Baptist Church. Y'all know where Mount Ararat Baptist Church is? How many of y'all know where Mount Ararat is in Treslet? Y'all know where it is? I preached revival there. I love those folks. African American Baptist Church. I love those folks. I love their pastor, Brother Chris. And they just about kill me preaching there. I mean, you know, I preach and they preach back at me. And the more I preach, the more they preach back. And we sort of get in the competition, seeing, you know, how it goes. And the thing about it, you know, you get in a rhythm. And I get in the rhythm when I preach there. And I was preaching there last summer. And I got in the rhythm. You know what I mean? Got in the rhythm. And all of a sudden, there was this dear lady sitting right here on the front row. And all of a sudden, she jumped out of her seat. And she began to dance around. Woo, like this, while I was preaching. Then all of a sudden, she turned loose and she ran around the church. I just kept preaching. After the service was over, I had some of my white brethren that were there with me that night. And they came to me and they said, Didn't that bother you when that woman ran that way? I said, Oh, no. I said, If I hadn't been so out of shape, I'd run with her. Listen, we need to practice up on how to worship God. Amen? Amen? He's worthy to be worshiped. And then secondly, the saints in heaven, Christians in heaven, are praising Him for the provisions that He's provided. Now think of all the provisions of Christ. They're praising him for the provision of rest. The Bible says in Revelation 14, 13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. Now look up here. Good works do not get you into heaven, but good works follow you into heaven. Amen? Sometimes a person will walk down a church aisle, say, "Punch my ticket so I can go to heaven." And then they go out and they live like the devil. They get drunk and live immoral and curse, turn their back on God and the things of God. And then they have the idea that one day when they die, that they're just going to step out of this life right on over into glory land, a perfect Apostle Paul. No way. No way. Friend, if you live like the devil, that's a good indication you're going to the devil. Listen, you and I ought to so live that one day when we step over into heaven, that others will say, "There's a man, there's a woman, there's a young person that was totally sold out to Jesus Christ." Listen, this is no time for lackadaisical, lukewarm Christians. Amen? Listen, we need to be all out whole hog for Jesus. And so they're praising him for the provision of rest. And then also they're praising him for the provision of service. Revelation 7:15. "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." Heaven is not a place of inactivity, but activity. I mean, God's not going to give you a little cloud out there somewhere and give you angel wings and you be plucking a harp. That sounds like boredom. Brother Kenny, can you imagine me and you, big old angel wings, flopping around out there somewhere? Oh, listen, in heaven, we're going to be serving him day and night. Amen? It's a place of activity. You ever get involved in things you like to do down here? I mean, something you really like to do. Then all of a sudden, phone ring. Somebody come to the door. Or guys, you think all week long, "I can't wait for Saturday. And on Saturday, I'm going to get to do certain things." But when Saturday rolls around, honey has got some honeydews that she wants you to do. Do I have a witness? Oh, but listen, in heaven, we're going to be able to serve him day and night. Night and day. Day and night. Night and day. Never get tired. Never get weary. No Hattitol, no Geritol, no vitamin B. I mean, we're going to be able to serve him forever and forever. Amen? And then thirdly, in heaven, they're praising him for the provision of healing. Again, Revelation 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." The last time some of you saw that loved one, that husband, wife, parent, their body was being dragged down to the grave with cancer. But no cancer in heaven. No heart attacks in heaven. No cripples in heaven. I mean, we're going to have perfect health forever and forever. What are the saints doing in heaven? They're worshiping the worthiness of Christ. They're praising the provisions of Christ. And then thirdly, they're expecting the entrance of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." You say, "Preacher, are you saying that when a Christian dies, they go immediately in the presence of God?" That's right. Are you saying that when a Christian dies, goes to heaven right now, that they only have a spirit body? That's right, right now. You say, what's that spirit body look like? I don't really know exactly. But I would say it probably looks better than most of us do tonight. Oh, but one of these days, God the Father is going to look over to His Son. He's going to say, Jesus, go get your bride. Go get your church. And He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel and the trump of God. And all the saved of all the ages are going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be given a new body like it is glorious body. Amen and amen. You know, I can almost imagine right now that the Christians are saying to Jesus, Jesus, when are you going to go get your church? When are you going to go get your bride? And He says, just a little longer. Just a little longer. And then there's one last thing I want you to notice. I believe that the saints in heaven, the Christians in heaven, are rejoicing over the redemptions to Christ. That is, Christians in heaven get happy when souls get saved here on earth. You say, do you really believe that the Christians in heaven know when somebody gets saved here on earth? Oh, yes. Listen, yesterday morning and last night, when these precious people came to Christ, they had loved ones in heaven rejoicing, praising God for it. You say, can you prove that? I believe I can. If you look over to Luke 15, Jesus tells us there about three lost things. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Notice what happened when they found that sheep in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And then notice what happened when they found that coin in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Not the angels, but joy in the presence of the angels. Who's that speaking of? The saints. The Christians. The angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then notice what that father said when that lost son came back home. Verse 24 and verse 25. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He heard music and dancing. You say, well, they must not have been Baptist. Music and dancing. Well, I believe I know your pastor well enough, and I hope I know you well enough. When somebody gets saved down in this altar, you can dance all you want to the glory of God over souls being saved. You say, well, that's not Baptistic. It's Bible. Amen? It's Bible. There was music and dancing. Every other year since 1989, I've gone to South Africa on mission trips. Last year, we went to South Africa, and we go out into the remote area of South Africa where there's these big villages. And we were in a village, probably there's 30,000 in it, and we were building a church building. Now, I don't build. I can do more damage with a saw and a hammer in 30 minutes than a whole crew can fix in a week. And so they just tell me, preacher, don't build. And so I go preach. And so I would go every morning to three or four schools, public schools in South Africa, and preach the gospel. I don't believe you heard me. I'd go to public schools in South Africa and preach the gospel. I don't believe you heard me yet. I'd go to public schools in South Africa, preach the gospel, give an invitation, and they get saved. God have mercy on America. One day I had some of the men who came to me and said, Preacher, would you like to go with us over to a neighboring village and preach over there this afternoon? I said, I'd love to. And so we loaded all of our sound equipment in the back of the truck and got us a power generator and keyboard and everything. And so we traveled about 30, 35 miles to a neighboring village, great big village, probably 40 plus thousand people in that village. And it only had two main roads. One went this way, one went that way. Now, I'm not talking about interstate highways. I'm talking about big old dirt roads. Y'all know what I mean? And we set up right in the middle of that intersection where those two roads came together. And we, you know, got all of our sound equipment out, our power generator, and cranked up that keyboard. And, I mean, they turned that sound system up, and they began to play that keyboard. And you could hear it 20 miles away. I mean, buddy, they turned that thing up. And people began to gather from everywhere, and they began to sing, and they began to praise. They began to just to worship God. And after a while, I stood up. And through an interpreter, I preached a very simple salvation message just on how to be saved. I gave an invitation. And when I gave that invitation, there was 25-plus adults that came out of that crowd and stood right there, and they were gloriously, wonderfully saved. They cranked that keyboard up again, and they began to sing, and they began to praise, and they began to dance. Now, I was a good Baptist boy. I mean, I stood there. I patted one foot. I clapped my hands. I mean, I was a good Baptist boy. And I had this big African man who came over to me and he said, Preacher, not happy? And I said, Oh, preacher, happy. He said, Well, if preacher happy, why him not dance? I said, Woo, let's go. They throw me out of the Southern Baptist right then. You say, well, I'm just not the emotional type. Yes, you are. When something's important to you, you get emotional about it. I mean, you let that new car you bought get a scratch on it. You'll get emotional. You let that favorite ball team lose, you'll get emotional. You let that little child that is so dear to you get sick, you'll get emotional. When something's important to you, you get emotional about it. And when souls are important, you get emotional about it. Listen, we need to get our rejoicing in church in line with what heaven gets excited about. I mean, we get excited about everything else in church except souls being saved. Listen, we need to learn how to get excited over souls being saved. Amen? Looking into heaven. Let me share this with you and I'll be finished. My oldest son, Brad, pastors now over in Greenville, South Carolina. Been there 10 years at his church. But several years ago, when he was a student at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis, he pastored a little church in Atoka, Tennessee. Y'all know where Atoka is? North of Memphis, north of Millington. And one Friday night, about 11:30, my phone rang. Now, if you call me at 11:30 on a Friday night, you're going to wake me up. And so, when the phone rang, it woke me up, and I looked over at that caller ID to make up my mind whether I want to answer it or not. Now, don't look so pious. You do the same thing. Amen? And I saw it was Brad. I picked it up and I say, boy, it better be important. He said, Dad, it is important. And I said, well, Brad, what happened? He said, Dad, one of the ladies in our church, 34 years old, fell dead today suddenly. Apparently with some type of brain hemorrhage. Just fell dead suddenly. She's got a little boy named David, 5 years old, a daughter, 7 years old, named Amy. And he said, "Dad, I don't know what to say at her funeral that's going to be this coming Monday." He said, I don't really know what to do. And I said, "Brad, let's pray a while." And so we prayed together over the phone that night. I waited until later Monday night to call him, so the funeral would be over and everything. And I called him back and I said, "Brad, how'd the funeral go?" He said, "Dad, never seen anything like it in my life." He said, "This lady was the daughter of a pastor here in Memphis. She had a beautiful voice. She'd sung all over the Mid-South area. Many of her songs had been recorded." And said, "For the funeral service, for the worship, the music, they had her singing her song by tape. And while she was singing there, some way, somehow, her little son David got loose from his daddy. And he ran up to the casket. And he began to look around the casket. He could hear her voice. And he began to cry out and say, 'Mama, where you at? Mama, where you at?'" And said he'd run over to the speakers. He could hear her voice and say, "Mama, where you at? Where you at?" And Brad said it literally just tore up the entire service. Listen, one of these days, little David's going to hear his mama's voice again. And he'll know where she's at because he'll be with her. Listen, one of these days, I'm going to look into heaven. Yes, sir. Brother Kenny, one of these days, I'm going to literally, actually look into heaven. You know why? I'm going to be in heaven. And one of these days, if you're saved, you're going to actually, literally look into heaven because you'll be in heaven. I want to ask you tonight, do you know if you were to die this very moment that you'd be with God in heaven? Listen, if I were here tonight and I did not know for sure that when I died I was going to be with God in heaven, there'd be no way I'd walk out these doors tonight until I got that settled once and for all. Let's pray together.